Welcome to Asbury. We want you on your feet and having a blessed morning with us. We're going to lead you in worship and praise. Sing along with us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy,
to see
holy.
You, to see you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
One more time.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Thank you. Have a seat.
Good morning. Please be seated. It's a joy to welcome you to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here, and isn't it a great day to be in worship of our wonderful, loving God? It's a privilege to be gathered here in this safe and sacred space to worship our God. In a minute, we're going to have the ushers pass down our attendance pads, and we'd love for you to sign in. We are so thankful to have visitors, and we very much appreciate you being here, whether it's for the first time or for the first time in a long time. We are so thankful to have you. I have a couple of announcements to lift up at this time. The first is that we will have a youth pancake breakfast next Sunday at 8 a.m., and it'll go through kind of the break time to 10:30, and you can purchase your tickets. Clark and some of the youth are going to be at the back of the facility of this room at the end of the service, where you can buy your tickets if you want to avoid the crowd and the extremely long line of all those pancake eaters next week. We really hope you'll come out for that. The other thing is that we have Girl Scout cookies being sold here this morning from our new Daisy Girl Scout troop. We very much appreciate them being part of the life of Asbury throughout the week. And with that, we are going to have Kay Cogwell to come up to have a special announcement.
If you guys know me, you know I'm the card lady here at Asbury. I do enjoy making cards. I have a cause that's on my heart, and every quarter we have a stamp for a cause here at Asbury. This quarter, which is on Saturday the 24th from 10 to 1, our stamp for a cause is going to be benefiting the Journey Project. So I don't know if anyone here has ever had cancer or had a relative that had cancer or a friend that had cancer, but I have walked this journey with a friend of mine over the last year, And she's so brave, and she has started a nonprofit organization called the Journey Project. She looked around, and she knew that she had the comforts that she needed when she had cancer, like just simply chapstick, blankets, whatever kind of made her feel more comfortable during chemotherapy. But a lot of the people that were with her did not have that. So it was on her heart. She started this nonprofit organization. So that's what we're going to stamp to support. And this event is on the 24th from 10 until 12 or 1. And you can come and make 7 cards, or you can just get a kit to go for Valentine's Day or for whatever you want. And I'd love to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you, Kay. A couple other quick announcements is that we are starting a new young adult Sunday school class. So if you're from the age of 18 to 30, we're going to be meeting for the first time on February 1st. And we're going to be meeting in the library. But if you don't know where the library is, just meet here at 9:45, and then we'll go there and we'll have brunch that morning. The other thing to remember is that the beginning of February, we're going to have our classes begin again. On Tuesday nights, we're going to have Reverend Mary teach a class on Methodism, what it means to be a Methodist. And then on Wednesday nights, I'm going to be teaching on the letter of Romans. And we're going to have a couple other classes to come your way. But if we could all please stand and greet one another and say to your friend next to you what your favorite vegetable is. Now let us turn our attention back into worship as we sing with praise and tune our hearts to God.
You're the God of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
There is no one like our God. God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here.
You're the Lord of creation, the creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength and the weakness. You're the love to the broken. You're the joy and the sadness. You are.
There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Your glory shines with hearts alive.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Our sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace found is where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
So teach my song to rise with you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.
Well, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Thank you. Please have a seat.
Good morning, y'all. I'm kind of excited. Miss Laura was supposed to do this. She didn't make it, so I'm excited because I get to do what she was supposed to do, and I get to eat something fun. But our lesson today, do you know what these are? Yes. We got to go shopping, and have you ever gone to the cookie aisle, and there's like tons of cookies, and you don't know which kind to get? Because there's so many choices out there. Well, when I walk down the cookie aisle, I kind of look for a couple things. I look for the brand. I look to see, you know, do I recognize this brand, Nabisco? They make good product. I think it'll be a good cookie. And the fact that it's Oreos, which is everyone's favorite. The other thing I look for is the price. This was a pretty good price. They were on sale, $2.69. Said, I think this is a good price. I think I'll keep them. The other thing I do is the taste test. So I think I'm going to taste them and see. But I see Miss Laura forgot to bring me milk. Because when you eat Oreos, you're supposed to have milk, right? To dunk them. No. Oh, this is chocolate in there. They taste like Oreos, taste better with milk, but they're pretty good. So the same way, sorry, you don't get any. So the same way that you can test for cookies and you buy products, you can also kind of test your trust in Jesus, right? As you're shopping to see if you should trust the Lord, trust Jesus, kind of like his name. His name's pretty trustworthy, right? When you hear Jesus, do you think you can trust him? So when you hear the name, you trust him. What about the price? Hey, guess what? Does it cost anything to love Jesus and trust in him? No, because why? He loves us. He's already paid the price, didn't he? What did he do? Right, he died on the cross. You're right. And the other thing, we have the taste test. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." If we really want to know if Jesus is good, we should take the taste test. How can you do that? No, you can't do that. You got to put your trust in him. That's how you know, that's how you take the taste test. So now I've got a really big decision. Do I want to eat this whole bag of cookies to myself? Or do I share them? You think I should share them? What would Jesus do? You think he would share? You think so? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, let's pray real quick. Dear God, we choose Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We have tasted his goodness. Now let us share him with others. Okay, so why don't you meet me in the back and I'll think about sharing these cookies.
Great, great, great. So there were 20 kids up there, so that's pretty cool, right? That's exciting. That's life-giving. It's inspiring to see all these little ones up here being attentive of Sherry eating Oreos, but also learning about Jesus, right? Let us go to God in prayer. God, we are in awe of your presence in our lives. In awe of the love that you give us each and every single day. In awe of the glory we have seen when we shout alleluia to you. We are in awe of how much you care for your people, that you're there for them, you walk with them, you fall down with them, you help pick us back up when we fall down, when we make mistakes, when we sin, when we trip up, when we hurt our friends or our family members, or you. God, strengthen the faith within us to always look to you. Looking to you as the example of how we should live, how we should love, how we should forgive, how we should reach out to others. We see in the Gospels countless times of you reaching out to people in desperate need. We thank you for reaching out to them, and we thank you for reaching out to us. As we navigate our life of faith, we are thankful when you pour your Spirit upon us, when we feel your presence, when we know we've been in the midst of a God moment. We thank you, and we give you worship and praise. Now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers make their way forward with sending the offering down the aisles, I'd just like to let you know that we have our new homeless kits. Many of you who are participating in the life of Asbury for a number of months know that we have little baggies, and the baggies are at the back of the WAC, and then also as you exit through the sanctuary doors. And those baggies are for you to drop off and hand to our homeless friends that you might encounter at the exit ramp or on the side of the road, and they're hungry. That's a way where you can share that with one of them. Let us now go to God in prayer. Holy God, giving comes from you. At the heart of it is sacrifice. The heart of it is giving to others. Lord, we give to you. We give to you because we know you can use the gifts we share for the blessings of others that are in need. We thank you, Lord, for all you give to us. And now we give back. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is sad. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
One thing I ask, yes, I would see. See your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, yeah, I would see, more to see. This place your glory dwells.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
My heart and flesh cry out for you, my living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. Well, I've tasted, yes, I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
Better is one day.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is
is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere.
Better is one day.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. The thousands elsewhere.
Amen and amen. What a blessing. Can you feel the Spirit of God in this place? Can you feel the Spirit of God in this place? We are blessed so much with a wonderful praise team that brings us great music. And now we enter our time where we share the scripture passage with one another. And it comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 1 through 22. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and deliver me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your face shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them for them all. He keeps all their bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Such a beautiful and wonderful psalm, isn't it? Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. We have all experienced, whether it was a very small moment or a great deal, of stress, frustration, overwhelming feeling of anxiety. It's one of those things that all of us as humans go through, have experienced, and share in common. You can think about all the different stresses in one's life, perhaps at work, where it's relationships maybe with coworkers or a boss. Or maybe it's a new project that has come up that seems very overwhelming to complete. Or maybe you're not happy where you're working, and the stress comes from performing at a job you don't like. Maybe it's issues of money, not having enough, not being able to have the money in order to support your loved ones or your children, worries about retirement. And then family has its own situation of stresses and frustration, dealing with children and youth growing up and possible issues they may be going through, dealing with their education. But you also talk about folks that are having family members in their life hurting or sick, not getting better. Maybe family's going through a divorce and all parties are hurting and depressed and stressed and filled with anxiety. So much can be inflicted upon others, right, in terms of frustration. I remember my senior year of college. It was one of the great years of my life. It was really fun. Loved hanging out with the friends that I had then, and the classes weren't too awful. What stresses, though, was applying for seminary, applying for scholarships, making sure all those things were tied up very carefully, and that the words that I said on these different essays were not only true, but precise and good and creative, where people saw something, right? And if you're like me, when you have this stressful moment, this moment of frustration and getting something done, when you finally get through it, you're so relieved. You rejoice, right? So many different things going on. Think about frustrations that you may be going through, stresses in your life. You know, Jana and I are of the opinion that it's a great premarital counseling activity for couples to assemble a piece of furniture together. I don't know if you've ever done that with your significant other, but you find out quickly how people manage their frustrations, who is type A, and if you can just get through that project, you may be golden with that partner, right? So much can go into that, so much frustration. Jesus had his own frustrations and stresses in his life, overwhelming moments. You remember the time where Peter was trying to convince Jesus about this plan to die on a cross. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. It's pretty fierce. It's pretty abrupt. Or when the disciples would bicker back and forth of who was the greatest among them, we can put ourselves in the mind of Jesus and see him just going, "What in the world? You're totally missing the point." Or one of the classic stories, when Jesus walks in to the temple and he sees all this money changing, people selling things to others, people cheating others out of their money and gambling. And what does Jesus do? He fastens a whip, lashes out for people to leave the facility, and he throws over the tables. Could you imagine that today? Imagine Reverend Mary running through the whack with a big whip, throwing other tables. There would be talk about that, right? Jesus had his share of frustrations. And so the question comes to us, if all of us are dealing with frustrations, then what are we as people of faith supposed to do when we have those pressures, the stress? We turn to this psalmist, this author of Psalm 34. This is a beautiful psalm. And what we see is that the author of this has been through his own share of issues and problems. You see, he says that his soul was crying out to God for help. He felt crushed in his spirit. But we also see in this passage that this person is a very mature follower of God. Do you get the sense of that in this psalm as you heard it read? Or maybe as you read it in your Bibles? Almost all every other word is Lord or God. And the first line is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the language of someone who has a sincere and strong relationship with God. There's praise to God, praise for what God can do. What did Jesus do when he felt these pressures? He went off by himself and he prayed, right? He prayed to God. He centered himself. He got in touch with God in a very heartfelt way and figured out the next step. Isn't that what we need to be doing when we go through frustrations and stress and pressures? We can be like the psalmist trying to cling to God in those moments. But you know what's interesting? I don't know about you, but when I'm frustrated or stressed out, the last thing I'm thinking about is probably God, right? My mother's side of the family has this medical issue, and it's not really supported by science, but I think it to be true. There's this little thing that happens where the blood boils just beneath the skin. We have short fuses in our family. Sorry, thought that was more. We have short temper and all of that. And sometimes I have that too, as Jana can attest, and you can ask her later about that. But what are we as people who have frustrations or stressed out, short fuses, how are we supposed to react? How are we supposed to act as the people of faith? We act as this psalmist does. Because what this writer of Psalm 34 does is he places God at the center of his life. God is the beginning, the end, the center, the number one priority, his core. And everything else in his life falls into place. So often, though, this isn't true of us. We hope it to be true. Lots of times we try and make it to be true. But sometimes we fail. We put our job as the core first priority of our life. And there's all kinds of problems that can come from that. If we put money as our first priority, there's all kinds of problems that can come from that. And my brothers and sisters, as hurtful as this may be, and as I'm still working on this myself, we can't even put our families as our first priority. It has to be God. It has to be God, because God must be the foundation and the center, and then everything else falls into place around that. Otherwise, nothing can be sustained. God is the master at taking chaos and making it into order, right? We see that in Genesis 1. There's chaos, and God brings it into order. Don't you believe God can take the chaos of your life and bring some order into it? How you love, how you act, how you speak, how you live your life. If God is the first priority and the center of your life, then your perspective begins to change. Your job then, your career, It changes perspective, and then you start operating at your job from a Christian perspective, from a follower of God perspective. So you'll be more honest. You'll be more caring. You'll ask about what's going on in your coworkers' lives and maybe even pray with them if that's what's possible. When God is at the center and then money falls into its own place, then everything changes in terms of your giving and what sacrifice means. It then becomes a blessing to give to others, to want to give to others, to save for God, and to trust in God's faithfulness. And then, if we put God at the center, and our family falls in a place around God, there is nothing but blessings that can come from that. If you and your family start every morning praying together, don't you know eventually over time that will change the dynamics of your family? It changes the way you respond and act to people. It sets the tone of your day to be in relationship with God. None of these are easy. One of my heroes is Dr. King, and we celebrate his day tomorrow. Don't we know Dr. King had some stressful days? Absolutely. Don't we know Dr. King had frustrations? Absolutely. And trying to lead a nonviolent movement and civil rights. So think of your heroes. They had their own frustrations, didn't they? Their own stresses. But what we must do is we must make sure that God is at the center of our life and have everything fall into place. So often when the stresses are pounding down on us, we cry out to God, right? It's a natural response. We pray, God, help me. God, save me. I need you. Bring me aid. But if our perspective changes to having God at the center, and our life begins with this passage, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. If that is what leads you in your life, then you will praise and be in relationship with God and the normal everyday life of who you are, and the joyous moments, because you'll gain greater strength in the times of trial and stress and frustration by doing so, by clinging to God, by making God number one. So I'd like for you, if you would, to repeat the following sentence with me. God, be the center of my life. God, be the center of my life. What if we said that each and every morning when we got up? God, be the center of my life. Our lives would change. We would be less angry. We would love others more. We would care for others. We would be willing to not lash out with our first thought when we're angry. So let us, as people of faith, commit to putting God first and having God be at the center of our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For our closing hymn, we'll have our praise team come up and lead us. At the feet of Jesus is this great song. I invite you to stand as we sing it. If you'd like some time to come and pray here at our altar rails for some peace and quiet to pray in your own way, we invite you up. Praise the Lord at all times. Praise will be forever on my lips. Let this be our vow as we leave this place. Let us praise God for who God is, loving, saving, redeeming us. And may we share that with our friends and neighbors. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.